It's good to be here. Renee is off today. Mike Lewis on the extra, and we've got a great show for you. And especially, are you an entrepreneur? Are you in business? Are you thinking maybe starting up a business? This whole show is going to be talking about the culture and success stories of business startups, because you may think it's easy to start a business, but something tells me there's a lot more involved in it, but you want to do it right. And our first guest today is, it's Hannah Parsons. Hannah, tell me about your, you are the CEO of Exponential Impact. What is the Exponential Impact?
Yes, thank you, Mike. Thank you for having us here today. Sure. So I run Exponential Impact. Exponential Impact is an early stage accelerator for tech entrepreneurs. So we started in late 2017, so we just had our 2-year anniversary, and really what we do, we have a few things we do now, but we started with an accelerator. And sometimes people want to know what exactly is an accelerator, because we sometimes hear the words accelerate, incubate, all of these different things in startup lingo. And so XI, as we call it, has started with a technology accelerator where we allow early stage entrepreneurs to apply, and they can apply from anywhere in the world, to come to Colorado Springs for 14 weeks, at which point they would receive small kind of pre-seed equity funding, somewhere between $30,000 and $50,000. And then they go through essentially about a 14-week boot camp to help grow their business. And so Exponential Impact is actually a nonprofit organization, and the seed fund is a for-profit partner fund. So essentially, we're trying to bring together early-stage entrepreneurs in some kind of scalable technology, and then give them all the tools they need to help grow their companies.
You kind of anticipated my next question. Mm-hmm. There are certain areas that you're looking for as far as the business model. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. So when we started the company, we were targeting really three primary areas, one being blockchain technologies, cybersecurity, because we are also partnered with the National Cybersecurity Center, and we are co-located with them and UCCS, and also artificial intelligence. However, what we found is it can be really hard to find enough companies in those really specific verticals. So we've expanded those to a degree to include companies that we believe have a scalable technology. Some that you'll hear from today, maybe education technology, gaming and blockchain, some of those things.
Interesting. They're all very important. But when you said cybersecurity, it reminded me of a story we had earlier today on KRDO's Morning News. The state of Louisiana is dealing with an attack where someone clicked on the wrong thing, and it was a malware attack. And
absolutely,
they have been dealing with this for several days now, and it's caused a big impact for the state of Louisiana. So
yes,
cybersecurity is really important.
It's extremely important, and it's extremely important for public entities. And I think we're really fortunate that NCC is really targeting kind of the public infrastructure.
Okay. Well, what are some of the early stages challenges that maybe startups face?
Well, the first one most people will tell you about is funding. But I think Exponential Impact, we try to emphasize that that is not the solution. It's just a tool to get to where you need to go. So I think, honestly, having the right mentors, and that's one of the things we try to pull together, is trying to find the right people. At this stage, it's really hard to scale. And so it takes money, it takes talent, and time. And so what we try to do is give them a little bit of all of those things to extend the runway, because when you're dealing with early stage technologies, there's a lot to learn, there's a lot to build, it takes time. So the more we can give tools to the tool chest so that they can have more runway, that's our goal at XI.
That's a great idea, the mentor, because you may think you may have a great business idea, and there's nothing wrong with your idea, and you may have the funding, but actually putting it into place, and what does it take to run a business? I mean, everything from HR to payroll and to executing the plan and getting customers.
Absolutely. Identifying the right sales channels and customer segments, all of those things beyond just having the product.
How would you describe the culture here in Southern Colorado when it comes to startups?
Thriving.
Really?
And growing. Yes, absolutely growing rapidly. So I think that's been, we've had a great entrepreneurial history in Colorado Springs, and we've had a lot of different initiatives that have all been really positive, with Peak Startup and Peak Ventures before that. We've had some angel networks, but none of it, it seems to have been disparate a little bit. However, I also think we didn't have the density of startups for a while, and now we're starting to hit on all of those things, where we're starting to see a little bit more in venture funding. We're starting to see a higher density of startups, and putting them all together and having them work together really helps also create those spontaneous relationships that help all of the entrepreneurs grow. So I'd say we are growing significantly in the startup space. The culture is getting stronger. It's also helped to see some of the other startups in the community that are further along realize great success. BombBomb is doing amazing well. Formstack is growing. You know, so to see some of the other companies that are a little further ahead also growing and choosing to stay here has been a real shot in the arm for the entrepreneurial community.
Well, terrific. Hannah, any last-minute thoughts for entrepreneurs? We're going to then talk about some success stories here in Colorado Springs.
You know, one of the things I'd love to know, I mean, once we started Exponential Impact, I think I realized how many entrepreneurs are in the community, and I have a feeling maybe we were losing them. Early, I mean, I think there were more here than we knew, and we were losing them to other communities for programs and funding. So I would just say to any entrepreneurs out there, get in touch with us. Whether you want to be a part of a program or not, or if you're just looking to participate in the entrepreneurial community, we can get you connected.
And Hannah, how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, well, they can, exponentialimpact.com is our website, or they can email me, Hannah@exponentialimpact.com.
All right, Hannah, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will move to a success story in just a couple of moments. It is 9:16. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And Renee is off today. That's why you're hearing my voice. And I'm really excited about hosting today's Extra because it's exciting, especially if you're in business, if you're an entrepreneur. We've got just a great bunch of information coming your way. Now we're going to talk about some success stories for new businesses. Our next guest is Gabe Szabo, the Chief Business Development Officer with Proximo Medical. Gabe, welcome to The Extra.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Well, tell me, what is Proximo Medical? What do you do?
So Proximo Medical is a fractional sales and marketing organization that helps startups commercialize their devices. So as we know, innovation is the key to life-saving and life-changing technologies for the healthcare industry. And startups and entrepreneurs are the lifeline of those innovations. The startling fact is that 75 to 80% of those startups fail. And they don't fail as they develop their technologies or develop the clinical regulatory. They fail once they're approved, and then they have to prove their technologies, commercialize them, before a large medical device company takes them over, acquires them. And so the startups have two options available to them. One is they can go to a distributor, which puts their technology into their portfolio, and they don't get the focus on their technology. The sales representatives in those distributors aren't necessarily interested in growing the business. They just want to have it fill up space in their portfolio. Second option is they could develop their own sales force. It's very expensive, typically $10 million to create your own sales force. You have to go for another series of funding, and you have to give up a lot of equity of your company before you develop that sales force. And that's the place where the startups fail. So now that's where Proximo Medical comes in. So as I mentioned, we're a fractional commercial organization. We're aligned with the startups' goals and objectives. Mm-hmm. And we have our own sales representatives. We have the best sales reps in the industry. And our job is to help them show commercial success. We don't force the startups to have to give up equity in their business. We want them to keep that. And we're only compensated when we deliver success. So to date, we have 12 sales representatives around the country. And this year alone, we've signed 7 contracts with companies to help them get to the point of their goals and objectives.
Very interesting. And what I liked about what you said is their success is your success.
We are completely aligned with their objectives, because if they don't succeed, we haven't brought their technologies to healthcare practitioners. We're not helping bring life-saving and life-sustaining industries and technologies to marketplace. And so we make sure that their success is our success.
Well, tell us about your vetting process, because somebody may think they've got this great idea, but maybe, you know, it's a great idea in their mind, but maybe it won't work when you put it out in the real world. So how do you vet it to know that there's someone that you really want to work with and a device you want to work with?
It's a great question. So we have a 4-step process where we vet technologies, and it starts with a commercial viability phase, where we look at the market that they're looking to get into, who are the competitors, what types of claims do they have, and really understand, is this a technology that makes sense to get into the marketplace? And once we've jointly assessed that, yes, this is a commercially viable business, it makes sense to bring it to market, then we do an in-market validation where we take the value proposition to key opinion leaders and hospital administrators and help determine what is the true value of the technology. Now that we have validated in market, we then take it to a limited market release where we place the technology with our team and in a small setting, 3 to 5 markets. We then take the value proposition, the sales process, and we validate what we heard from physicians and key administrators. And then and only then do we expand it to full commercialization because we want to de-risk the opportunity. We want to make sure that the technology is going to succeed. That's why we go through that very comprehensive process.
Now, you work with domestic companies, but a good idea may come from overseas. Do you work with international folks as well?
We do. So there are a lot of international companies that want to enter the U.S. market. Obviously, it's the world's largest market, and there's a lot of great opportunity. However, many of these international companies, they don't understand what it takes to be successful. They don't understand how to navigate through a value analysis committee, which is what's in place to get approval to get into a hospital. They don't know how to negotiate national group purchasing organization contracts. And they don't have access to key opinion leaders that will help further their technologies. This is things that we do every day. And to date, we've actually signed 2 international companies to Proximo Medical. We work with Biotronic, which is a 50-year-old company, over $800 million in international sales, but they've never entered the U.S. market. They've tried 2 times unsuccessfully, and so they have finally reached out to us. Now we're bringing their technologies to the U.S. market. We've also signed a company 2 weeks ago, Pedra Technologies, based out of Singapore, and they have a real game-changing technology that they want to bring to the U.S. market. We're helping them develop their commercial strategy, their marketing claims, and then ultimately, once they're approved, then we'll take them into the U.S. market and we'll provide the commercial sales representation for them.
Sounds like it's an exciting time to be in the medical industry with all this innovation that's happening right now and the advances that are taking place in medicine.
It absolutely is. And the key is not just to bring me to technologies, because what's important in the medical industry today is you have to bring things that have real clinical value, and you have to bring things that have economic value to the hospitals. And that's where our vetting process to make sure we're bringing the right technologies, and then the people that we have on our team that really know how to navigate the healthcare system, which is very complex, to help them actually succeed.
Well, terrific. And you're based in Colorado Springs.
Well, we have representation in Colorado Springs, but our sales representatives are all around the country in major markets.
Gotcha. Well, Gabe, thank you for sharing your story. Congratulations and much future success going forward.
Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure. We've got more success stories coming as the Extra continues. Checking the time, it's 9:27, a news update coming next. And this is a great Extra we have for you, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you want to know about startups, because we've got some success stories and we're going to continue in our next segment. Joining me now is Eric Johnson, the CEO of Mega City. So, Eric, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
It's good to have you here. And tell me, what is Mega City?
All right. Well, Mega City is a sci-fi social arcade. So you're probably like, what is that, right? So imagine a social network. Most of you use social networks out there. So maybe think Instagram, right? You can connect and chat with others. You can post to your feed. You can post images. You can go live on your video. But Mega City, imagine being able to do all that, but also being able to play a variety of arcade games, both single player and with others. So there's strategy games, arcade style combat games, puzzle games, really something for everyone. So all of that, and then that all happens inside of a retro dystopian sci-fi setting and story that kind of interweaves through everything.
Interesting. Now, I've got this glared at me when I got the sheet about you and some information about the company. It says it is a free-to-play, ad-free gaming platform. So the million-dollar question is, how do you raise revenue? Because, you know, I've heard that businesses that don't make money are hobbies, not businesses.
Oh, yeah. So, so that's actually a billion-dollar question, not a million-dollar. But so Mega City is free-to-play, and it is totally ad-free, which is obviously kind of nice for the players. But also, so you just simply sign up with an email address, and you're good to go. However, players can purchase items that work not only work with particular games, but all across the platform. So you can buy items that have special abilities for the games, but you can also, they have abilities in chat or on your feed, for example. So you want a photo filter that nobody else has, you can buy an item for that. And also, one of the interesting things, too, with these items is they can be exported to public blockchains. So if you're familiar with things like Ethereum or Steam, you basically have ownership of these items, and you can trade and sell them on third-party marketplaces, so they're yours.
And how's MegaCity going so far since the startup?
Great. So I think right now we are at over 3,000 pre-registrations, and it's a very international phenomenon, and I think that has something to do with some of the blockchains we're leveraging. We have players signed up in over 60 countries, so that will be an interesting challenge to bring basically the whole world together. That will be kind of fun and obviously kind of challenging.
And when did you launch MegaCity?
So we launched our pre-registration back in June of this year, and we have right now we're in a invite-only beta test that opened up a couple weeks ago.
Well, what have you learned since you went through the startup process?
Oh, wow. So much. I mean, you know, I've done other businesses before, but I think, you know, this one in particular, one of the things that's super critical, especially as a hyper kind of creative company where, you know, the core of our company, you know, we spend our time making sure our product is something that we want and our players will want. Mm-hmm. But we always need to be reviewing, you know, various business fundamentals. And, you know, being in the accelerator, we were in the Exponential Impact program. That's really been key and critical to helping us get organized and also being introduced to great mentors that some are from the gaming industry, but some are just good at acquiring you know, new users or coming up with business strategies that help us basically grow our company.
It's the second time of this hour I've heard the word mentor. Very important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. more than anyone could ever imagine from probably initially wanting to do a company, I think.
Any suggestions or advice for someone listening right now that has got that entrepreneurial mind but maybe hasn't taken the plunge, so to speak? What would you advise them to do?
I would advise them to test their ideas as quickly and cheaply as possible. You know, you're going to have a lot of assumptions. You have a lot of, you know, you're going to have a lot of spirit, right? You want to be an entrepreneur. But, like, the number one thing is you want to make sure that you have an idea that ultimately people want, right? Ultimately, someone's going to be willing to pay for your idea. So figure out as quickly as possible how to get there.
So, Eric, when do you plan on releasing the game?
Well, like I said, our game is an invite-only beta. However, for especially for listeners right now to KRDO, if you go to megacity.gg, again, that's megacity.gg, you can pre-register right now. Put in your email address, and you'll get a free in-game item instantly. But also, you know, very special offer. If you do that, all our pre-registrations for today, we're going to go ahead and email you a beta code so you can get in the game. So if you're listening right now on your phone, it's a totally mobile-friendly game, so megacity.gg.
Terrific. I just want to remind everyone, at the conclusion of today's Extra, we will put this up on KRDO.com as a podcast, so folks can go to KRDO.com, click on radio, then podcast, and then you can listen to it again if you want to. You can send it to someone, get this information out, and share it with folks that you think may find this interesting. So yeah. We appreciate it, Eric.
Yeah, thank you very much. And yeah, maybe you could in MegaCity, you can even post to your feed this podcast, so you can just listen to it inside of MegaCity.
Oh, well, terrific. So we want to make it easy for folks to get the information and to listen.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Mike, for your time.
Congratulations on a success story. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. We're going to continue with the Extra in just a couple of moments. It is 9:42. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. And we continue on the Extra. Thank you for joining us. Renee's off. She'll be back on Friday. And wanted to let you know that we continue our series. We've turned this Extra into entrepreneurship and some success stories on some great businesses and ventures that are going on in the Colorado Springs area and also internationally, I might add. Our next guest is Lawrence Wagner, co-founder and CEO of Spark Mindset. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So what is Spark Mindset?
So Spark Mindset are creating bridges for low-income students to cybersecurity careers using virtual reality. So we take the best practice of traditional education, combine that with virtual reality to help prepare students for cybersecurity careers coming right out of high school. These careers can pay them at $55,000 a year. We prepare them for two industry certifications, the Net Plus and Security Plus certification. And we're looking to solve a big problem mm-hmm. of talent shortage in cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. There will be 3.5 million unfilled jobs by 2021. Right here in Colorado, there's 40,000 open jobs.
And as you mentioned, and we mentioned in an earlier segment, cybersecurity is a huge industry. It's very important. It's going to continue to be front and foremost as we move through, because this threat is not going to go away.
No, actually, cybersecurity is supposed to grow by 38% by 2028. So as we get more into like autonomous vehicles and more IoT devices, cybersecurity is going to continue to grow.
Now, did you say you're working with high school students or after they're done with high school?
No, so we actually work with middle school and high school students.
And when does the training take place? Is it actually happening in the classroom, or is it after school weekends?
So for our middle school camps, they can be outside, so they're mostly on the weekends, but they can be enrichment programs, so they can be things that kids do right after school. And it's a way to get kids, especially minorities and women, mm-hmm. interested in cybersecurity at such a young age. So the middle school camps are really to engage them, get them excited. They're progressive in nature. So as they're going through those camps, it gets them ready for either our high school program or another high school program, cybersecurity.
Kind of reminds me of years ago, you might bring a pilot into a school and you get kids interested in aviation, or you bring someone from the military in and get them thinking about military. So you're doing that same type of thing, but with cybersecurity.
Correct. So we start with middle school and we get them excited, but we also have a two-year program, and that two-year program will be working with high schools. Mm-hmm. That will prepare them for the Net Plus and Security Plus certification, partnering with organizations to get them internships, and again, ready to coming out of high school, making $55,000 a year. So we start with middle school, but then we progress to high school as well.
And $55,000 a year is the starting area.
That is the starting point. A lot of people don't know, but you can get a job into the cybersecurity field at an entry level, either a cybersecurity information analyst or computer networking, and you don't need a college degree. So save them with debt, allows them to get their feet in the door and get a livable wage coming right out of high school.
Well, that is terrific. How's the success going right now since you've been doing this venture?
So we did a pilot in Louisiana. We've done one camp so far in July. We have a camp coming up in December. That camp is halfway full. And then we have one on the 14th and 15th at the National Cybersecurity that we're looking to fill right now.
Terrific. So if someone's listening right now and they are interested in, they want to learn more, they've got a child maybe that they think would benefit from this, what do they need to do?
So they can go just to our website and register. That's sparkmindset.com. It's under camps. Or they can reach out to me at lawrence@sparkmindset.com.
I'd like to ask you, how did you come up with this idea for doing this?
So I am from the projects of Cleveland, Ohio, and I understand how people in poverty don't have options to careers such as cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. School systems don't necessarily have the teachers to train them. Parents don't actually know that these opportunities exist. And so I want to be able to break the cycle of poverty and to provide opportunities for kids in low-income neighborhoods as I was once.
It sounds like you want to take this throughout the country.
Yes, we do. So right now, we are currently focusing in Colorado Springs, but we also are going through the process of being certified in the state of Louisiana okay. to run our program there as well.
Well, terrific. So what are any challenges you faced since you did this?
Yes. So the biggest challenge is talking to school systems. Mm. And so really working with school systems across Colorado and across New Orleans and really letting them see what we're doing.
So what has the reaction been from students when you put this in front of them? Are they excited?
Yes, so they're excited. They think it's fun. They think it's entertaining. And it's getting them interested in cybersecurity. So that's the part that you want to do is gamify it. So gamify it allows kids to not only think it's fun, but it allows them to retain the information that they're getting as well.
Terrific. Do you have anyone that has gone through the program and has been placed in a position of employment?
No, so we're still
Still in that early stage.
So we've only been our prototype has only been up for 1 year so far.
The good thing about cybersecurity and getting trained in that is those positions, I would imagine, or you can move pretty much throughout the country.
Yes.
Because that skill set is going to be needed in in banks, hospitals, government institutions, media companies, all that kind of thing.
Yes, there's currently 350,000 open cybersecurity jobs across the U.S. right now.
Wow. Give us an idea. You said $55,000 as a starting.
Yes.
If you continue to progress and stay in that field, what could you be looking at for, you know, a top-range salary?
Probably over $200,000 a year.
That's not shabby.
Yeah, and so you get in at entry level. You will have to go to some college, but normally by the time you end with the company, company helps you pay for that, or you can pay for it for yourself. So again, we provide the students with options not to take on a bunch of debt, but actually to grow in these career fields and succeed.
Can you let us know in the Colorado Springs area what school districts you're working with?
So there's main school districts that we're talking to right now is District 11 and District 20.
Okay, and it's going well so far, it sounds
so,
like.
So, yes, so far so well. But we're also, our camps are not just in schools, but our camps are also at the NCC. We're doing a camp at the Southeast YMCA, so we don't have to actually be in schools. We can go to different locations to run our camps as well.
Now, cybersecurity is a broad term, but are there different areas in cybersecurity that you focus on?
Yes, so we focus on computer and network administrators and information security analysts. So those are entry-level cybersecurity jobs that they can step in and work with companies right away.
And, you know, you see kids pretty much, it's ubiquitous almost, on their phones and stuff, so they probably intuitively know how important security is because they're already working with being on the internet, being on a cell phone, things like that.
Yes, but that's also why we tackle ethics at the beginning. Mm-hmm. When we do our camps, we talk about what to click on, what not to click on. We talk about things like cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. And those things that make sure that they're using their phones securely.
Terrific. Well, before we wrap this up, Lawrence, any last-minute pieces of advice or information you'd like to put out there, please?
Again, I would love for you to come to our camps. We have camps on the 14th and 15th at the National Cybersecurity Center, and again on the 17th and 18th of January at the National Cybersecurity as well.
And where is that center located?
So the National Cybersecurity Center is located off North Nevada, right across the street from the racetrack.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I know the old dog track.
Yes.
And that's it's not too far from UCCS.
No, they actually collaborate with UCCS. Exponential Impact is also in the same building as well.
All right. Final question for you. What's the website?
So our website is www.sparkmindset.com.
I said final question. I got one more. Okay. If you go to that website and you're interested in enrolling, you can do that there?
Yes, you can enroll. It's under camps on that website, and you can enroll right there.
Well, fascinating. It was good to meet you.
It was good to meet you, too. Thank you for having us.
I'd love to have you back in a few years and see how it's going.
We'd love to be back.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. Tom Martino, the troubleshooter, is coming up here in a couple of moments as KRDO's Extra is wrapping up on this Monday morning.